Chapter 4. Push and Pull. Gucci was on the up and up and up. By 1974, there were 14 stores and 46 franchise boutiques around the world. Aldo held impromptu spaghetti dinners following concerts by his friend, the opera icon Luciano Pavarotti. The soirees evolved into gala benefits at his glamorous Gucci Galleria shop, where guests sipped champagne, admired artwork by Gauguin, De Chirico, and Modigliani, and purchased limited edition handbags and jewelry. Meanwhile, Gucci's service was the talk of the town. Aldo didn't accept returns or give refunds, and he closed the store every day for lunch, as was the Italian way. New York Magazine ran a cover story titled "The Rudest Store in New York," but it all just fueled Gucci's cachet. For Aldo, the fact that Gucci was still entirely family-owned was the company's greatest asset. When Vasco died of lung cancer in 1974, his shares went to Aldo and Rodolfo. The Gucci empire was now split 50-50. Aldo encouraged his three sons to join the business and divided 10% of his shares between them. He wanted to funnel company profits into a new business, Gucci Parfums, and introduce a new line, the Gucci Accessories Collection, or GAC. The canvas cosmetic cases and tote bags would sell in department stores alongside Gucci fragrances. It was a lucrative but destabilizing move. GAC grew from zero to $45 million in just a few years, but Gucci lost control of its quality factor. Counterfeits flooded the market. After Vasco's death, Aldo's youngest son, Paolo, was put in charge of the factory in Florence. Talented and eccentric, he raised carrier pigeons and designed Gucci's first ready-to-wear items. Bird motifs showed up on his scarves. He also constantly butted heads with Rodolfo over the company's creative direction. To ease tensions, Aldo brought Paolo to New York in 1978. But Paolo couldn't deal with his authoritarian father either. His dream was to have his own line, the PG Collection. When Aldo heard of his plans, he was livid. "You are a fantastic idiot to try to compete with us," he roared, and fired Paolo on the spot. Meanwhile, Rodolfo had figured out Aldo's strategy with Gucci Parfums. He hired a young lawyer, Domenico De Sole, to help him draft a campaign to incorporate Gucci Parfums into Guccio Gucci. This would raise Rodolfo's control in GAC from 20% to 50%. Aldo fumed. He requested Paolo's allegiance at a shareholders meeting, but Paolo was petulant. "How can you expect me to help you fight Rodolfo when you won't even let me breathe?" In response, Aldo picked up a crystal ashtray that Paolo had designed and flung it at his son. The ashtray shattered behind Paolo, spraying him with shards of glass. From that moment on, Paolo had only one goal: topple the House of Gucci. Over the years, he'd been examining Gucci's financial documents and found that millions of dollars were being transferred to offshore companies. In October 1982, Paolo filed the evidence to support his claim of wrongful discharge. He thought it'd compel Aldo to either let him launch his own line or invite him back into the business. In the end, 81-year-old Aldo was sentenced to a year and a day in prison for evading over $7 million in U.S. income taxes. Paolo pursued his PG line with renewed vigor, but his venture fizzled, then failed. Maurizio would later remark that his cousin's most significant achievement in life was to put his father in jail